When did it switch for you where you were like, okay, I think that I can be a pro, or that might be a reality for me?
I remember this game. It was my sophomore year, my first 30 ball. We played Marshall. I mean, I made the all rookie team, but I was kind of like, I feel like they just had to throw a big in there, so I didn't know. I don't know if I really got that, or I didn't know what was going on with that. But yeah, I think it was after that Marshall game, what, 31 points. I don't know the rest of the stat line. I just know I had 30 points, and I remember talking to my parents on the phone. And that turned into a legitimate dream for me.
Right, we are here with my guy Nate Knight. So I'm gonna go through a few of your accomplishments, because you have quite a few, my guy. You have quite a few. So if y'all want to go get a snack, use the bathroom, go ahead. This might take a minute. So Lou Henson Award winner, CAA Player of the Year, CAA Defensive Player of the Year, a couple first team All CAAs, 3-time CAA All Defensive Team, second team All CAA, and then of course CAA All Rookie Team. How you feeling, bro?
I'm good, man. Just happy to be here. How you doing?
I'm doing well. Are you – you're not in Virginia anymore?
No, I'm up in Albany now.
Gotcha.
Yeah.
What you been up to lately?
Nothing. Now that I'm up here with my agency, I'm doing like 2-a-days. And, yeah, that's about it, really, with coronavirus. Yeah. There ain't much going outside of training. So.
Facts. Right. I feel that. So, of course, as you guys know, see the jersey in the background. This is my teammate this past season. And Nate, you remember tempo runs, right?
Yeah.
So we got a new segment. I want to try this out. You're the first one we're going to do this with. It's called the 1-minute speed drill. All
right.
So I got about 10 to 11 questions. You got a minute. I'm going to try to, we're going to try to get through as many as possible. You got one skip.
All right.
So we gonna go ahead and do this real quick. See how this turns out.
All right.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
All right. 3, 2, 1. All right. Top 3 artists on your pregame playlist.
Drake, Uzi, Juice WRLD.
One career besides being an athlete that you've always dreamed of pursuing.
Investment banking.
Okay. Who do you model your game after?
Skip.
dream school growing up.
Boston College.
Oh, really? Sports. Sport that you're the least talented in.
Soccer.
Go to celebration.
I'm a flex.
That's a fact. Best player that you've ever played with.
Skip.
Best player that you ever played against.
Justin Wright for me. For
okay. Sure. Best sneaker that you've ever played in?
Kobe's.
And then who was your first coach?
My first coach was Gilbert Spates.
Just made it. Invest. Are any of you thinking of starting a podcast? If so, you should definitely look into using Anchor. For starters, it's free. It's also creation tools that allow you to record and edit your podcast right from your phone or computer. Anchor will also distribute your podcast for you so it can be heard on Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and so many more. You can also make money from your podcast with no minimum listenership. It's everything you need for a podcast in one place. So go ahead and download the free Anchor app or go to anchor.fm to get started. Let's get back to the show. Banking that surprised me. That's what's up, though.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, I like the pregame playlist, bro. That was solid. You know, Uzi in there, Drake, then the Juice WRLD. That's, rest in peace of Juice, man.
Bryce remembers we were at Fairfield when everyone got the news, and I was devastated.
Yeah.
I never played so hard in my life.
He was pressed that day.
But, yeah, man. All right, so let's transition into this, man. So who put the ball in your hands, and, where did your love for the game, originate?
So my mom really put the ball in my hands at a really young age, and that love for the game of basketball originated, from a very unconventional place. It wasn't from, watching the stars on TV do it, or like watching a bunch of basketball when I was younger. It was, really a means for me to get away from, you know, some of the bad things that were happening around me. Mm. And, you know, that stayed constant to this day. Basketball has always been my go-to, my constant, my rock. So that's the way it's been. That's the way it always will be.
For yeah. sure.
I mean, my mom introduced me to basketball too, bro. So, yeah, she had me dribbling and stuff in the kitchen, man, working on my left hand outside and stuff. So, yeah, that's cool, man.
So let's talk about the recruitment process a little bit. You, of course, received a number of mid-major offers, but I'm not sure if anyone could have, you know, guessed that you would have the type of career that you had in college and ultimately be in a position that you're in today. But thinking back to when you were in high school, where was your confidence level? Did you always know that you were going to be a pro? Were you just focused on being the best college player that you could be? You know, where was your mind at back then?
Oh, my mind, that's a great question. I definitely didn't think I'd be in the position I am today. You know, in high school, I was real raw, you know, real lanky. Like, I kept growing. I didn't know how big I was going to be. Like, I was good, you know, for the area that I played in, but I felt like there was so much more that I needed to tap into. And that's where the uncertainty came from, because I didn't know where I'd have the opportunity to do that or how I have the opportunity to do that. Yeah, I mean, confidence has always been there. I mean, you know, as an athlete, there's a fine line you got to walk between, you know, like confidence and cockiness. Because if you err too much on being, you know, like an airhead, just like being entitled in your sport, that's just, you know, how you don't get any better. So
definitely,
I feel like I walked that line pretty well. But
for sure, I can second that. But when did it switch for you where you were like, okay, you know, I think that I can be a pro or that might be a reality for me?
I remember this game. It was my sophomore year, my first 30 ball. We played Marshall. I mean, I made the all rookie team, but I was kind of like, you know, I felt like they just had to throw a big in there. So I didn't know. I don't know if I really got that or I didn't know what was going on with that. But yeah, I think it was, yeah, after that Marshall game, 31 points. I don't know the rest of the stat line. I just know I had 30 points. And I remember, you know, talking to my parents on the phone. And, you know, that turned into a legitimate dream for me. You know, did I think NBA off the top of my head? You know, not necessarily. That's every hooper's dream, to be in the NBA. But there has to be, you know, some sense of reality to it. I was like, yo, I'm going to go play overseas. You know, this is great. You know, 30-point game against a good opponent. And then, you know, from there, confidence just kept going up. And, you know, the dream became more in reach as my time went on.
Right. What, my bad, real quick. What, like, for the – for the college players that are out there that might be in a similar position, like what got you to the level that you're at today? Was it like just extra hours in the gym? Of course, that might be part of it. I've seen your work ethic. But what got you to where you are today?
I think the biggest thing that is, you know, just transparent, honest communication with like your coaching staff. If you're in a college, talk to them, you know, tell them what your dreams are, ask them what they think, you know, their dreams are for you. You know, that on top of, you know, you have to have a elite work ethic if you want to be successful in anything you do. But this sport especially, because there's so many people out there that are trying to do it. So, yeah, I mean, just work ethic. You got to come and put your hard hat on every single day and talk to your people, talk to your peers, talk to your higher-ups, and really make sure that you guys are all on the same page with what you're trying to do. And let them know what you're trying to do, because too many times you have guys that want to be pro, that want to be the man, but no one else knows. The coaches that wasn't aware that they were the man, you know? So it just turns into, you know, a pretty bad situation. So honest transparency with, you know, your inner circle and your coaching staff is probably the biggest thing for me.
Right, sure. That's a great point. Me and Bryce talked about this a little bit too, but like your work ethic, you bring up a good point about work ethic, and, you know, it's like it transfers over, you know, from the court to like real life situations. So, I mean, I think that's like a great point for you to bring that up. And, you know, a lot of athletes don't really know that until, you know, like you're in a Bryce situation where you know, you're not playing no more. But I think like that's a great point, you know, that you made.
Yeah. And then on top of that, I mean, basketball nowadays is like the sport has kind of changed. And like a lot of kids are like looking for mixtapes and like stuff that come on social media, and it's really moved the purity of the sport is kind of being compromised a little bit.
Yeah.
And, like, I guess that's just the biggest thing is, you know, play the sport for what it is, you know. Sport, it's a means to, you know, get to where you want to be. Don't look at it as an opportunity to, you know, make yourself look better on social media, because that stuff doesn't really matter. Like, it's helpful for, like, you know, boosting your brand, but that doesn't really, you know, do much for you.
Right, that's real. The person you really are, right.
Yeah, play the game in its purity. That's another thing for me, too.
Yep. Can you speak on, you know, your decision to go prep? You know, a lot of kids, student athletes out there might second guess that, you know, decision, but, you know, do you have any advice for the student athletes out there that's thinking about, you know, taking that route?
Yeah. I mean, for me, especially, I think the prep was probably the biggest decision that I made. And, you know, that wasn't really my decision. I think about it. That was more my parents. My mom was like boarding school. So, yeah. But, yeah, I mean, anyone, you know, looking to go prep, or anyone that's prep looking to go D1, is, you know, stay the course.
Yeah.
Prep school is an amazing opportunity. Definitely boarding school, it can get a little, you know, it can be tough those first couple of weeks, first couple of months being away from home. But it really prepared me, you know, for the rest of my life. And, yeah, just stay the course and, you know, just understand that you're there for a reason.
Yeah.
Not like, you know, public school where you can just go there, mess around for 8 hours and then go home. Like, you go there and you know, lay those foundations, those building blocks for the work ethic and the time that you're going to put into whatever you decide to do.
1,000%. Sure. That's one thing that Jane and I talk about all the time, just remembering that, like, you're where you're supposed to be. You know what I mean? And stay, like you said, stay the course, take it day by day. Those are a few things that we try to stay, you know, present, like, keep presence of mind about every day. But, you know, coming out of prep school, when you were looking for a college, what exactly were you looking for in a program?
That's a great, I mean, there was so much that went into it. I think the biggest things for me was, obviously, you know, the education was huge for me. I've always been a bookworm. I've always been somebody who, you know, likes to do well in school. So, you know, just having the opportunity to even get looked at by those high level, you know, academic schools was, you know, a blessing. So, like, sifting through, you know, what school is going to be the best for me, you know, to get me prepared for life after basketball, because sports only last so long. Our bodies can only do that for so long. Like, Vince Carter been playing for 20 years and everyone thinks he's been playing forever, but that's going to end eventually as well. So, like, understanding that there's life after basketball and looking back, like, what did I do with that time? Like, I used my time as a basketball player to get my degree.
Yep.
And a field that I, you know, love and want to do after basketball. So finding that, and also finding the opportunity, that's the biggest thing as well. I'm sure you guys can attest to it. It's just like nowadays, people are looking for the biggest school, the best conferences, not really looking for opportunity. William & Mary, to be completely honest, I didn't know existed until it's, you know, sent me a scholarship offer. But finding the place where you have the best opportunity to, you know, excel, not only as an athlete, but, you know, as a student, as a person, you know, just getting your whole character palette right. And finding the opportunity to go in and just make the biggest impact that you can, really. Cause you can go, I could have, you know, decommitted and went to a high major, but I'm almost positive I probably would have played like a third of the minutes that I was able to play at William & Mary. And would have had a much, much worse opportunity than I did, you know, coming here.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. What motivates you, man, as a player? Like, what's motivating you?
What motivates me really is where I come from, what I've came from, and I mean, that's just so much. I mean, obviously, I want to move my family, get my family away from some of the things that they're still around, that I grew up around, that you know, we know isn't the best thing to be around. And, you know, another thing is I don't want my kids to go through what I went through, you know.
Yeah.
Obviously, my kids are going to, you know, learn those important life lessons, and my kids are going to, you know, be humble and, you know, have all the correct character traits. But, you know, hardship as a child is just, you know, never ideal. So I can do anything to make sure my kids don't have to, you know, go through that, I'm going to do it. And that's what really motivates me. It's just, you know, a better life, not only for me, but for the people I care about.
Yeah.
It's real. I mean, everybody needs, no matter what your field is or what your sport is, you got to find out, like, why you're doing what you're doing. Like, what's your why? I feel like if you don't do that, you'll never reach your highest potential, as you know. But, you know, I've played with a lot of talented players, but I got to say, like, you were by far the most dominant teammate that I've ever, like, played with. And at the same time, you were still humble. Like, you can hear it, you know, in this podcast episode so far, like, unselfish, respectful, that, you know, everyone that we encountered off the court. And that's not always the case with the star of a team. And this might go back to, you know, your why, but who or what, like, keeps you grounded?
Yeah, I mean, my who is, you know, the people I care about and the people that have, you know, taught me those important life lessons, my mother, my siblings, you know, extended family, and, you know, all the people I've encountered up to this point, you know, because, you know, all of that, you know, that star mentality leads to complacency. And
for sure,
that's not something any person should want to, you know, have in their repertoire, is complacency, because that's like the number one killer of a career.
Right.
Like, really just, you know, keeping that, you know, jaded mindset on, you know, being the absolute best at what you do. And in order to do that, you can't be cocky. You can't be complacent. So, like, just having the correct mindset about what you do, you know.
Right, for sure.
One of our episodes, Bryce, first episode, titled what? The greatest enemy to human achievement is the comfort zone. So, yeah, you tested the waters, you know, last summer. You know, had a few workouts for a few different teams and, you know, ultimately decided to come back to William & Mary for your senior year. Yeah. So, what was that whole experience like?
I mean, that was exciting, very fulfilling experience. You know, just, again, childhood dream of mine to go and play professional basketball. So, being able to go out and, you know, test the waters and show those teams my talents was, you know, an amazing experience. Traveling all over the country, that was awesome too. Just being able to put myself in front of those people was, yeah, it was something that, you know, I'll never ever, you know, take for granted. Coming back to school, though, that was difficult because, you know, I had a lot of different people in my ear. You know, obviously, you know, NBA front offices were like, it would be best if you went, you know, the high major route. But, you know, with the NCAA and all those rules that they have, it's literally impossible to, you know, transfer and play right away unless you graduate or you get some kind of hardship waiver.
Mm-hmm.
And the schools that were looking at me, I wasn't sure how to get that hardship waiver. And then on top of that, it was just, I don't know, William & Mary has just done so much for me. And, you know, there's so many reasons why I went there and so many reasons why I need to stay. Obviously, I needed to finish my degree to do 3 years at William & Mary. To graduate from William & Mary is tough. So to do 3 years and then leave and get your degree from somewhere else didn't really make sense for me. Mm. You know, I knew what my role was going to be. I just kind of wanted to finish what I started, whatever that means. And I had, you know, a group of friends, a group of guys that I knew I was going to come back to. And, you know, the pieces that Coach Fisher were able to add was awesome. Got my guy Bryce.
Yeah. I was going to ask you that. How was it when Bryce came?
I remember the first time I met Bryce, it was, I knew. I was like, this is the guy we need. This is the piece we needed. Bryce is, you know, just a hard worker. Extremely level-headed, like probably the most level-headed person I've ever met. Has some interesting perspectives on some things. And, no, that's my guy. That's my guy. And, you know, Tyler too. Like, Tyler's awesome. The definition of a glue guy. Really? Like, he can be a hothead sometimes, but you know, that's my boy. He's got a little attitude problem. He light skinned, so.
Bro, I need a compilation of all his like rages throughout the season, like him smacking the floor. And all that. I need that.
Right? Yeah, Tyler. Oh my gosh, Tyler. He was about like 5 seconds away from like 3 fights this season. I don't know. Think about it.
And Bryce was—he was so happy to come there too. Like, bro, every day I'm getting calls, super excited. He like, yeah, bro, we got a pro on our team. I'm like, yeah, I'm looking forward, you know, to watching y'all play. So I was able to catch, you know, some of y'all games though, man. But
that's what's up.
Yeah, it was like thinking back to my recruitment visit. Like I already knew once I came on my visit, I was gonna commit just basically because like the academic piece. But they were like, yeah, like you know, a five man, he's you know, testing the waters in the NBA right now. You know, if we get him back, he'll definitely be the best player in the conference. And I'm like, all right, yeah, like that's cool. Cause like you know, you hear like we got a good big all the time, but it never turns out that way.
Exactly.
Then once I came back out here for like the workouts or whatever. That weekend, oh my god! I was like, okay, yeah, he's legit for real. He's legit for real.
Oh man!
All right, so election day is coming soon, and even though this is a presidential election, there are many more candidates on the ballot besides the president. And not only do we want you all to get out there and vote, but we also want you to know who you're voting for.
Go to Ballot Ready for a nonpartisan guide to your entire ballot. From there, you can compare candidates based on stances on issues, biography, or endorsements. And then save your choices to use when you vote by mail or in the voting booth. You can even request your absentee ballot or make a plan to vote early on election day.
As you all know, this election matters. Make sure that you have a plan to vote and vote informed. Yeah, but you know, you spoke about the academic piece a little bit, you know, getting your degree in business analytics, like that's tough. Like I've taken a few analytics classes. By far, it's not my favorite. But you know, you've had a few, you know, four successful years here. You just spoke about, you know, your decision to stay. Are you content with like the legacy that you've left here at William & Mary?
Yeah, from a basketball standpoint, definitely. I mean, obviously I wish we would have won some conference championships, but you know, as one player, you can only do so much. And looking back, there's definitely more that I could have done. I mean, you know, I guess the biggest legacy that I wanted to leave was not necessarily a legacy of, you know, an outstanding athlete, just, you know, an African-American on campus, you know. Mm-hmm. Bryce, as you know, the African-American population at our school is there, but it's not very prominent like it could be.
Mm-hmm.
So being able to use my platform as, you know, an elite athlete on campus, you know, kind of just, you know, bring light to, you know, the – you know, persons of color topic, you know, that's a legacy that I want to leave. And I feel like I did that.
Definitely.
Out of all the commits that William & Mary has brought in since I've been here, since I've left, it used to be like a 60-40 one way. Now it's like 70-30 the other way.
Yeah, true.
So being able to have an impact like that, you know, was something that, you know, I'm really proud of.
I hadn't really thought about that, but that's a good point. And, you know, you definitely led the way with that. Like I spoke about, you know, earlier, you were like the model athlete here, regardless of color, like, and you know, we need that for sure.
This, you know, this has probably been, you know, the most unconventional summer ever, to say the least. But what was your pre-draft process look like so far?
I mean, up to this point, it's been really just training, just doing my best to not lose what I, you know, had during the season, and you know, to build on that a little bit. Mm-hmm. And it's really tough with coronavirus. Gyms were opening and shutting down like all the time, so like finding somewhere to train was, you know, never easy. My agency was awesome with, you know, making sure that I had somewhere to train, somewhere to, you know, get better. So
that's the biggest
thing I've been doing. I mean, every single day it was a minimum two workouts. Obviously you gotta have a rest day, gotta have time to yourself. Yeah, I mean, that's the biggest thing, was just training, staying focused on the task at hand. It's very, very frustrating. You know, looking at it now, the draft was supposed to be September?
Yep.
Yeah, it was probably like 3 months ago. The draft would have happened 3 months ago in a regular world. But, you know, really just understanding that what's going on with the pandemic is really out of my control, and I can only do so much.
Right.
So just doing the best I can. So, you know, be prepared for when that time comes.
For sure. Right. Definitely will. Divine timing, man. Divine timing.
Yeah.
did you pick up on any new hobbies? Or, I mean, anything, you know, during all this time we had off?
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I video games has been my thing. I'm big gamer. That's all I do. But I definitely have picked up some new hobbies. I've been reading a lot more just because video games can get a little redundant after a while. So picking up some books. Got reinvested into my faith. That's something that I kind of, you know, stepped away from, not necessarily on purpose, just, you know, on the environment and the conditions.
Yeah.
I wasn't really on top of my faith like I could have been. So being able to reconnect with that has probably been the thing that I'm most grateful for with this time, because it wouldn't have happened in the regular world. But yeah, I mean, that's about it. Really just reading, FaceTiming family, friends. Yeah, that's about it. Playing video games, and then I'm on FaceTime. If I'm not playing video games or I'm reading, I'm on FaceTime with either my mom, my brother, my sister, or my girl. That's about it. That's all I really do.
Yeah, I mean, Nate, I can say you're an elite Fortnite player. I played a few games. I know I'm terrible. But one thing that, like, I found, like, kind of cool, you know, like, this past summer we stayed together for a few weeks. And, like, I came in his room one day. I'm like, oh, who you playing with? And he said, like, some kid's name. And I'm like, who is that? And he said, like, you know, I think he was just, like, a fan of yours, or, like, he was at our team camp or something like that. But I just thought that was dope that, like, you don't have to do that. You know what I mean? But you still – you know, take the time to play with, you know, play the game with some people that look up to you. I thought that was dope.
Yeah, definitely. It's all about the kids, man.
But before we go, man, is there a quote or a mantra, you know, that you live by?
Yeah, definitely. I mean, Bryce has heard this mantra, you know, 100 times from Coach Fisher, but it's something that I've always lived by. It's just really controlling what you can control. Love and, it. You know, giving your 110% to the things that you have control over and not stressing over, you know, anything else, because like this draft process is a perfect example. Like, I can't control what happened with the pandemic. I can control what I do in the pandemic. I can control how I act with my training, with my dieting and stuff. So really focusing on that and not being frustrated or getting upset with, you know, the circumstances right now. So. Yep.
1000%. I love that quote, though. And shout out to Coach Fisher, man. Great guy. Great guy.
Yo, Fisher's a man, bro.
Seriously. Seriously. But, man, thank you for coming on. Good luck in the draft process. I'm excited to see where you end up. Yeah, man. Thank you.
Appreciate you coming on, too, man.
No, thanks for having me. I'm a huge fan of the podcast. So, I'm on an episode. It's never a bad thing. So.